I love Palm Sunday. Do you guys like Palm Sunday? It's an awesome day, isn't it? It's a feel-good Sunday. So thank you for that experience and that story and for that celebration that we sing. This is a celebration Sunday, and we like to celebrate. So what do we do? Celebrating is what we do after we experience what we've been waiting for, what we've been wanting. When that all happens, you know, we just let it all go and we celebrate and we have a great time. I like to have a great time. I like to feel good. Do you guys like to feel good? Yeah, if you like to feel good, I want you to shout out a big, loud Hosanna for me. Are you ready? Here we go. If you like to feel good, one, two, three, Hosanna. There you go. Awesome. I love to feel good. And this is one of those days, a celebration Sunday. It's when we're looking forward, as Cheryl had prayed, that we are looking ahead to Easter and the resurrection, where the tomb is empty and death is defeated and life begins anew. So there's so much to celebrate today. And so I enjoy a good celebration. That's what Jesus, the Hosanna, that's what Jesus heard on his way into Jerusalem. It was a celebration parade, and it almost seems like it was kind of spontaneously coming together. People were excited. They were feeling that joy. They were feeling that experience. They were feeling good. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in riding on a donkey, and they just burst out into this loud excitement. One of the Gospels shows the crowds honoring and praising Jesus, just as the kids learn, laying down palms in front of him as the donkey he was riding moved forward. You know, it was what everyone was waiting for. It's what everyone wanted. And there's Jesus coming down. And from the Gospel of Mark, we read, "Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession." He's the center of attention here. "And the people all around him were shouting, 'Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heavens.'" This is a celebration Sunday. It's Hosanna everywhere. And then almost as soon as it all began, it's over. What happened? It went from a crescendo of worshipers to crickets chirping. Why? Why does it all end so quickly? Think about it for a moment. Why does it all end so quickly? When this is all over today, when you're done listening to this message online, or when we leave the celebration today, will that be it? Will it be over? Will it be crickets? So last week we had a lesson about a seed. If you were here, Jesus said this. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." So we learned the obvious. A seed is only a seed until what? Until it dies, that's right. And then when it dies, it multiplies and it produces many seeds. So it dies, and then it flourishes. It produces multiple seeds. You know, the students from midweek a couple of weeks ago, or from Be Bold, they gave Cheryl and I this really practical lesson about, you know, the seed and it dying. So in this form of a really neat tomb, it's kind of a replica, they planted the seeds, and we watered them for a week, and the seeds died. And then they began to grow and produce this really cool scene, this grass. So these are practical illustrations of a bigger spiritual reality that's highlighted as we journey to the cross today. The simple lesson is this. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die. And when he dies, he will produce many seeds. So that's going to eventually diminish the celebration, isn't it? I mean, it seems like this triumphal entry is all about Jesus coming in his power, and for him to go and die, it's really going to squash the moment. But we recognize the reason for that is because people just really don't understand what's happening. If they did, this celebration would continue. Because the lesson is simple. The seed dies. Say that with me. The seed dies. The seed dies. It produces new life. It produces new life. And then it grows and makes many seeds. It dies. It produces new life. It grows and makes many seeds. So it's practical. It's natural. But this is not translating to the people at all. Not yet. Because they still think Jesus' death is out of line with God's plan. They just don't see it. It's too final. It's too destructive. It doesn't make sense. Not yet. But it's different for us, right? We know the story. Every year in the church, we come back to Holy Week and we journey, the same story from the triumphal entry to the cross to the resurrection. And for some of you, I'm actually excited today because this could be the very first time you hear this story or recognize it or hear it and understand what it means. This journey has the power to transform lives, not just what Jesus is about to do, but your life as well. It transforms you and I. For many of the rest of us, this is not the first time we're through this. It's not the first time we're hearing it, but we're called to hear it with fresh ears today and to go deeper and further with this message, and each year to grow in our understanding and to find in this very practical seed application a life-transforming walk with Jesus. And although it's so simple, it's not always clear. So if you need some clarity in your walk with Jesus, and maybe some of us do, if we need clarity, then I invite you to look in an unexpected place today. Pay attention to how faith transforms the lives of those around you. And I'm going to invite the camera person to pan the camera here at this point. And I want you to, it's going this way. So I want you to turn around, look into the camera for those that are online today. Just turn around if you can, look into the camera, say hi. You know, that's only one section of the church, all the way around. Look around at the people who you are with today. Yeah, wave. There you go. We are part of something greater. Men and women, youth and children who are worshiping with you are being transformed before us. And so take note of the Jesus followers that you're with today. Ask yourself, what is it about them? What is it about the people around you that sets them apart? What is it that changes their lives? What's different about a Jesus follower? The principle is this: a seed is only a seed unless it dies, then it multiplies and produces many seeds. And that's what makes a Jesus follower unique. Because eventually we're going to see this principle show up in the lives of the people sitting next to you, the lives of those that are online with us, that are following Jesus. When she or he sacrifices their life for Jesus' sake, it multiplies. And we see fruitfulness, and it produces more Jesus followers. So we're watching each other this week, right? Now, not to spy, not to be creepy. We're watching each other to see what everyone has been waiting for, which is not actually what we expect. This morning, we're going deeper with this seed parable and with following Jesus. And maybe you have realized that following is not what you expect. Maybe you've realized it's exactly what you've expected. So Jesus' invitation is simple. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. It's simple. We're getting this. I'm repeating it again. Lose your life to save it. If it's not clear yet, it will be. I went to the eye doctor the other day, and in the exam, the doctor brings up this instrument and has all these lenses on it, and first glance through, I thought, whoa, my eyes are way out of whack. It's like I had a bad year. And he starts saying, is it better or worse? And I'm thinking, doc, it's not so good. You better do something quick here. But as he keeps flipping the lenses, you know, things just get a little better. You know, he's going better, 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 and then it all starts to come into focus. It's simple and it's clear. I think that's a good depiction of the gospel. You know, as we're walking with Jesus, as we're going on this journey to the cross, we are getting clearer and a clearer picture of what this really means. The things that seem so confusing in the past are coming into focus. But it's not clear in this journey to anyone else yet, even to the closest disciples as they're following Jesus to the cross. And I think this is where Jesus gets pushed back to his plan. And I'm guessing we all start to push back here at this point, especially if we've had this idea that the church is a place that's going to make me feel good. Now, hear me out. I'm absolutely not opposed to feeling good, right? I like to feel good. You know, maybe you do too. You probably like to feel good, right? We all like to feel good. But Jesus didn't come to make us feel good. He came to make us right with the Father. And that's his purpose. That's his plan. I think in the end, we will feel full of joy because of it. But pushback comes in those difficult places. So Jesus didn't come to make us feel good. He came to make us right with the Father. And for human beings who are broken, and that's all of us, right? We're all broken in our relationship with God. For broken human beings, that makes us, what makes us feel good doesn't always line up with what makes us right with God. So what makes us feel good isn't always what makes us right with God. And that causes some pushback. Jesus knew that. He experienced pushback from his followers, sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. And for us, like them, it's going to take some conditioning to come around that hard, not so good feeling, things that Jesus is revealing to us. So here's another simple story Jesus shares that shows the kind of conditioning that needs to take place in this journey with Jesus. So we call it the story of the soils. You might have heard it as another seed parable. It goes like this in Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And his disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" You know, it's a simple story, right, about seeds and about soil. We live in an agrarian world and place. We recognize those things. And yet, what does it all mean? What's Jesus' point here? He's making the same point, really, about what it takes to be fruitful and faithful. This is the meaning of the parable, he goes on. The seed is the word of God. Important point. The seed is the word of God. The rest of it is, you know, the kind of soil that the seed falls in. And think about this in terms of, where am I? What kind of soil am I? Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So the first ones, they hear the gospel of Jesus, but it never gets in. It doesn't register. It's a bit like many of the people on the Palm Sunday parade. Everyone's excited, everyone's caught up, but nobody's really listening. Nobody gets it. John's gospel story, he goes back to this journey. He says, the next day, news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him, and they shouted, "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." So these are the songs that each year they sing when they're coming into Jerusalem. You know, those familiar church hymns, you might think about it. You know, that we recognize and we get excited about. But expectation this year when Jesus came was particularly high because everyone is expecting something. They've heard the miracles about Jesus and they're wondering, is he really the Messiah? Is he going to show himself now? Are we going to finally get what we've wanted? Many thought he was. Enthusiasm is catching on. You know, we're not all that different from this crowd. We all get swept up. We want to be something, part of something greater. You know, the excitement, the good feelings, it makes us kind of impulsive. You know, it's natural to want to join in. It feels right at the time. Have you ever gotten caught up in something? Have you ever gotten swept up in the excitement without really understanding it all? You know, that would be like me cheering for the Vikings if they were going to the Super Bowl. You know, I don't know what's going on, but hey, let's do it. You know, we get caught up. We get swept along, you know, for better or for worse. know, it's like the college student who had finished his first semester and he was spending time home on the weekend and he was feeling pretty smart and he wanted to tell his dad all about this great school he was part of and all about the smart people that were there. And he said, "Dad, you know, in our chemistry lab, we have an acid that will dissolve any known substance." And the father turned and looked at him and slowly said, "That's pretty amazing, son. What do they keep it in?" It feels right. It feels good, right? But we need more than feelings in our journey with Jesus. That doesn't mean feelings aren't good. You know, feelings can motivate us. They can direct us. They can guide us, you know, in the right direction. God gave us feelings. They're certainly powerful. If you've ever been sad or happy, you know what feelings can do. They can make us move and seek and search. They can direct us. But feelings alone are like a seed in the rocks. They're too easily taken away by the devil. So feelings don't provide the staying power through the trials of life. And getting caught up in excitement isn't the same as being a fruitful follower of Jesus. I think we need to get that. Getting caught up in the excitement isn't the same as being a fruitful follower. So if you're following Jesus based on your feelings alone and you're recognizing that feelings are a little fickle, they change, then maybe we want to go a little deeper. I want to encourage you to think about going a little deeper tonight. We go deeper when we put down roots, but the soil still matters. Jesus explains, he says, "Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." These are the followers who believe when believing is easy. You know, we're all in that category at some point, right? It's just easy to believe. There's no staying power. There's no depth to that kind of faith. It's shallow and uncertain. Followers in the crowd, they're welcoming Jesus, but they're shallow faith. Jesus found a donkey and he rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." So the people got the meaning of what Jesus was doing. They understood this. This was part of their psychic history. They know that the prophet, the king of Israel, is going to ride in on a donkey. This has been foretold. They're watching. They're waiting. They're expecting it. So when Jesus does this, it's like, oh, there it is. We can see this. We get this. This is our king. And they want to worship. They want to celebrate it. This was simple. It was intentional by Jesus. It was clear to the crowds, and they loved it. Jesus is their king at last. This is the momentum swinging their way. But they just don't comprehend what's coming. They miss the main point of Jesus' work. We're like those seeds that grew up in rocky soil. They're all excited. We're all excited for a little while, but wither and fall away when the momentum shifts and the opposition arrives and things get tough. But for now, in this story, they've joined in. They're caught up. They're enthusiastic. Jesus is going to be king, and they've been waiting. It's just not going to be the kind of Messiah they thought he would be. And they're not going to be able to maintain that kind of faith because they don't have the necessary deep roots to sustain them. You and I, we want to go deeper. We want to get deeper. Jesus describes the third soil condition. He says, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." You know, there's a group of people in the Gospels that I just don't understand. It's the Pharisees. You know, they get a bad rap all the time, but the Pharisees, they're after God. Their whole lives are committed to following the Scripture, the truth of what they read in the Bible. They want to be perfect before God. They're the religious teachers and the leaders, and they're totally biblical. They're totally biblical. Now, we think that's a great thing, right? But it's not enough. It's not enough. They have to be totally Jesus followers. You know, they're plotting against Jesus. Eventually, they want him killed. I think it's hard to understand. How can they miss who Jesus is? But they do. And their faith is choked out by the worries and ambitions of the world. Luke shares this interesting interaction with some of the Pharisees. He said, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They're shouting, they're cheering, they're claiming Jesus as their king. "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, they don't know it. The Pharisees don't know it, but they're powerless to stop what is taking place. Jesus is going to accomplish what he came to do. They just don't see it, not yet. So they're seeds in the weeds. Don't be seeds in the weeds. I love Palm Sunday. I love this day. I love the celebration. I love the praise that Jesus gets. You know, as we read this, I can feel the excitement of the crowd. Do you feel it? Do you feel this celebration that we're reading about, the expectation? I even get anxious with the leaders as they seem like this moment has taken on a life of its own. And for a brief moment, it's all about Jesus in the scripture. We're not yet thinking about betrayal. We're not yet considering a false trial and a mocking and a scourging and a brutal journey up a hill to a cross. Crucifixion isn't on anyone's mind, not yet, at least most. And in that joyful crowd, at least in that moment, it's a celebration. We all like to be happy. It feels like the perfect moment where everything is turning out just the way we want, just like we expected. Jesus is entering Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, which means God saves. And then as fast as the moment builds into this crescendo of enthusiasm, it's over. It's done. Where's that cricket? Why does it end so quickly? John writes, "So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple, and after looking around carefully at everything, he left, because it was late in the afternoon, and then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples." The crowds are gone. It's just Jesus and the 12, and Jesus' words loom in the air. "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." So Jesus is the king on this final journey to defeat brokenness and sin that has held God's people in bondage. He came to accomplish his purpose as king, and his purpose is to go to the cross to die. It's so simple, but it's not that clear. Not to those followers, not then. What about now? What about you? Are you caught up in the feeling of following Jesus? Are you searching for a feel-good faith? Does it feel exciting and good, but you know that your faith is just a little bit shallow? It's just not very deep yet? Are you fighting back against that principle of the seed about surrendering? Are you holding anything back? Are you taking each step by counting the cost, which is good, but then challenging that commitment of dying to yourself? You know, I get that. I do. It's like the vision test. You know, it's a little clearer, a little better, but it only comes with each step of faith. Go deeper. Be the good soil. When I'm making, you might ask, why am I making such a big deal out of this on a celebration Sunday? Wouldn't it be just easier to wave palms and sing and be happy? I mean, we're all here. We all like to be happy, right? Nod your head if you like to be happy. Good. And if you're not, I want to know why. Why don't you like to be happy? We all want to be happy. But I told you I like feel good, but it really, will it make us feel good when worship is over, when we walk out the door? You know, that real inner joy is what Jesus is calling us to, and that comes by complete surrender. You see, the battle between darkness and light is raging. It's going on right now, and it will continue until Jesus returns. We're in that battle. You are in that battle. It isn't always a feel-good kind of faith. We're facing challenges. The church is called not to just grow wider and wider and wider. That's great. We want all people to come to know the saving grace of Jesus, but the church has to grow deeper and deeper and deeper as well. We're in a season where those who are here now, you who are watching, you who are here, we are being called deeper because we have been thrust into a social upheaval that is really unprecedented in our time. You know, the message of the gospel has gone farther and faster than we've ever seen before in the entirety, I think, of Christianity. And those of us that are here now, we are called to an opportunity like the church has never seen before. You know, it may not seem like it, but things are stirring, things are happening. To be the church, we are called to be the church that is equipped and mobilized to cultivate the soil of new believers. To be churches full of followers who are looking around and who are seeing you, who are watching you, who are listening to you, who are asking you to share with them the same journey of the cross that you have been on, to know how to surrender their lives so that they can be fruitful like you, and how you've discovered that in Jesus' name. So you that are here today, you online, you will be leading women and men to become seeds of sacrifice that produce a fruitful harvest. It's coming. As you hear this, you're being prepared and equipped to take children and youth who have never heard the gospel before on that same journey with Jesus to the cross. And his words that you hear today are that challenge to embrace the light and turn from the darkness, whatever that is. Be true gospel ambassadors in your workplace, in your school, in your churches, in your neighborhoods, in your towns, wherever it is. Maybe it might be for you across the world, and it might mean you don't even leave your house. It's a new world, but the journey to the cross is the same journey. Be good soil. Be the soil of Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the seed on good soil that stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. It's time. It is. Jesus is calling you and me deeper, to go deeper. In her book, The God Who Hung on the Cross, journalist Ellen Vaughn, she retells a gripping story of the gospel coming to a small village in Cambodia. I think this is pertinent, even though this was 25 years ago, 20-some years ago. In September of 1999, Pastor Sang traveled to Kampong Thom province in northern Cambodia, and throughout that isolated area, most villagers were Buddhists or Spiritists, or they called on their relatives. Christianity was virtually unheard of. But much to his surprise, when he arrived in this small village, people warmly accepted him, and they warmly accepted the message that he shared. And as he asked them why this was, why they had such openness, an old woman shuffled forward, she bowed, and she grasped Sang's hand, and she said, "We have been waiting for you for 20 years. And then she told this story of a mysterious God who hung on a cross. In the 1970s, the Khmer Rouge, a brutal communist regime, took over Cambodia, and they destroyed everything in their path. And when they came to this village in the northern part of Cambodia, they rounded up all the people and told them to start digging their graves. So as they prepared themselves to die, some of them screamed for Buddha, and some screamed for demon spirits, and others to their ancestors. But one woman started to cry out loud for help based on a childhood memory, a story that her mom had told her about a God who hung on a cross. And the woman prayed to that unknown God on a cross. She said, "Surely this God has known suffering. Surely he'll have compassion on us." And suddenly her cry became joined in by a great wail of the entire village. They all started praying to this God who suffered and hung on a cross. And they continued facing their graves and wailing until it finally turned to a quiet cry, and then there was eerie silence in this misty jungle air. And slowly, as they dared to turn around and face their captives, they discovered that the soldiers had gone. As the old woman finished telling her story, she told Pastor Sang that ever since that humid day 20 years ago, the villagers had been waiting for someone to come and share the rest of the story about the God who hung on a cross. It's time. Jesus is calling you. John writes simply and clearly for each one of us that are ready to hear. Jesus knows his final journey is the ultimate Passover feast where he is the Lamb of God. He is the Good Shepherd who sacrifices his life for his sheep. Believe as you walk through Holy Week this year. Follow Jesus to the cross because Jesus has the words of eternal life. He laid down his life for his friends, for you. He is the true vine. He is the door that opens the way to the new creation that is ahead. Believe that through the cross, the powers of darkness have been destroyed, and Jesus is drawing all people to himself for a fruitful harvest. Whoever believes in Jesus, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within through you. Through you, the love of Jesus will flow out to the people around you, to the lost and the left out and the hurting and the lonely that are seeking to hear the good news of the God who hung on a cross. By your example, as a follower, others are watching you, others are listening to you, others want to experience you as the hands and feet of Jesus, and they will be drawn to believe in him. Surrendering their lives to produce a harvest. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Go deeper. I'm inviting you into a time of prayer and of going deeper. Lord Jesus, we hear your call. We know your journey. If for the first time, if we're hearing this, then Lord, we recognize that you knew exactly what you were doing. The parable was about your very life, that you would give your life, you would die so that we may live. Lord, we want to go deeper today. We hear your call. We recognize that we're not just followers on the journey to feel good, but we have a divine purpose, your divine purpose, that you call us to give our lives, to truly know life, and to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to go all in today. Knowing, Lord, it'll be a struggle. It'll be difficult. We'll face challenges. But, Lord, we're still all in today. It's our heart. It's our desire. And so if that's you today, then simply ask Jesus, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Empower me to follow you. Lord, to give my life that others may come to know you and my life may produce a harvest. For your sake, for your glory. As for followers, if you're new today to this journey with Jesus, if you've never walked to the cross, if you're hearing this for the first time about the God who hung on the cross, or recognizing that this God is the God who will have mercy and compassion on you, if you're hearing that call to trust Jesus today, to follow him, then I invite you to surrender your life to him. To receive Jesus, to let him into your life, and to be filled with the grace of God. If that's you today, don't wait any longer. The journey to the cross begins today. Call on Jesus with a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me. I am sorry for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't turn, but you went to the cross for me. Now, Jesus, I believe. Fill me with your life, your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Now, as we prepare to celebrate today, if you've made a commitment to follow Jesus for the first time, we would love to hear about that, and we would love to help you out on that journey. So if you're online, go ahead and click on a link, a prayer request, and let us know about your walk with Jesus, and we will be glad to connect and pray with you. And if you are committing to go deeper today, then set your heart on that walk and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you. Through the trials and troubles, you will become a seed that dies and produces a plentiful harvest. So that is worth singing. That's worth praising. So if you invite somebody to go back and watch this message online, this will end with this little disclaimer here. This is a moment of humility on my part and praise for you as the church. So somebody has corrected me, and in my passion for preaching, sometimes I might say something that makes no sense. So, oh, I don't get it. Why are you laughing? So, apparently I said the psychic history of Israel, and that could be quite confusing. What I'm trying to portray is, that in their whole mindset, their whole social understanding and their history, they have been told and taught the Messiah is coming. So when Jesus arrives, this is just a fulfillment of everything that they have understood and believed. So not the psychic history, it's their whole social history is wrapped up in the Messiah.